You're listening to the Pinto and White Shadow Show on KFGO.com and 740thefan.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the fourth installment, the fourth podcast of the Pinto and White Shadow Show. I'm Daniel Pinto Gunnarsson, my co-host Brad the White Shadow Jones, with you on this beautiful Sunday. Really wish we could be doing this outside. Really wish we could be recording this for everybody outside. My goodness, Brad, now, what would you rather have for the end of July when it comes to weather? Would you rather have it be 80 degrees and humid and you're sweating already as soon as you walk outside? Or would you rather have it be sweatshirt weather closer to kind of fall temperatures, which it is now?
I kind of like the fall temperatures. I mean, I like this. I mean, as long as it stays, as long as that's not a prelude to an early winter, I mean, this is perfect. 75, 80 degrees, a light wind, humid. Give me that all day.
Yeah.
And speaking of which, it must have been nice for you. I saw some pictures of you in the suit this weekend.
Yes. Friend's wedding is actually what it was. I was in one of my good friends, Lily Rachinsky, got married to Alex Flage. Not that anybody cares because I'm name dropping.
I actually know Alex, though.
Oh, yeah. I suppose you do.
Yeah. He worked as a student at NDSU.
That's right. As did I. I worked for you.
You did.
I worked for you for too many years, really.
That was a long time. Worked for me when we were both students, and then when I was a staff member and you were a student.
Yeah. 4 years. I would pretty much consume my life working for you. Three or four. Doesn't matter. I worked for you.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. So, gorgeous day outside. I had a lot of fun at the wedding. It was at a zoo. The reception was.
Really? Okay.
Did
you get to hold an animal?
Did not get to hold an animal.
Okay.
Peacocks were not impressed with the amount of people. They took off.
Okay.
And we were walking around. It was my girlfriend, me, and a few of our friends. We were walking around the zoo area. I don't know if you call it pavilion, whatever. We're walking around and the peacocks roam freely there.
Okay.
And we walked up and these peacocks, when they get... You know, they're afraid. They put out. We walked up and they're showing us their feathers.
Sure.
So we're assuming they're a little bit, you know, afraid of us or intimidated. Not the case. It decided that this peacock was angry at the other peacock. They started going at each other.
Nice.
And we had one of our group who was not a fan of peacocks at all.
Okay.
For some reason,
interesting phobia.
Yes.
Yeah.
She just doesn't like birds. I don't know what that's about. And we're sitting there. We had walked away from the two birds fighting, and we walked up to the wolves. And the peacock came and joined us, and she took off. She, like, booked. She's not...
So now, is it all birds or just...
Just the peacocks.
Or just peacocks?
Yeah.
They just
let them go. The ducks have... You know, they're kind of free to roam, too.
Yeah.
But the ducks kind of stay towards the water.
Sure.
They just do their thing and quack at each other. But it went way better than I thought it would. I was under the impression that there was this huge tent, which we had the food at. It was kind of a buffet-style thing. Burgers or brats, and then this... Oh, it was just good food.
Okay.
The keg beer. We're actually going to talk about beer in this podcast.
We are.
The keg beer was Summer Shandy keg or Bud Light keg. And the Summer Shandy keg, probably 10 minutes after it was tapped, was gone. I'm pretty sure. But I made sure, you know, I'd go up there. I don't know. They need to put some kind of, like, restriction when it comes to these things. But I would go up there, and you can get two at a time. And then the bar was completely separate from where everybody was sitting, eating, and dancing. So I'd go to my table, I'd sit down, take a drink, but, well, okay, I need more beer. So you just walk
sure.
back. You walk
so you
back.
Just were walking laps the
yeah,
entire
so
night.
Pretty much, which explains why I feel so good today.
Yeah.
I did have a fair amount of beer. Let's not, you know, I'm going to be honest, but I feel great today, ready to do this podcast. But it was a great wedding, had a lot of fun, and no worse for the wear. My buddy lost his tux coat, which is great. Still incognito right now. We're not sure where it's at. Which is an issue because it has somebody else's phone in it right now. And it's just a whole...
He didn't throw it into one of the animal pits.
No,
did he?
Okay. Did. He did. He stayed with us this weekend, and him and I got separated at some point, and I texted him. I go, where are you at this morning? Because we all got sober cabs to wherever we needed to go. And he said, I ended up at the Wingate. I don't have my car. Can you come pick me up?
Sounds like a good night.
It was fun had by all everywhere around. So it was a good time. Ready to get down, talk some sports. Kind of the last podcast of July, really the last podcast of sports purgatory, as I like to call it, because July is kind of sports purgatory because baseball, really nothing going on baseball-wise because you're too far away to say, all right, let's get ready for the pennant races. The trade deadline can be interesting if your team is involved. We're not going to talk about the Twins really this podcast because there has been nothing really new about Morneau or Perkins. And the Twins, yes, they've been doing better, but who have they done better against? The Cleveland Indians are overachieving this year. They took 2 out of 3 from them.
So we're not talking about the Twins.
Well, Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim are bad this year. They took 2 out of 3 from them, and they might take 3 out of 4 from Seattle. They're currently playing right now, but they're just, you know, the Twins are pretty much a non-essential part of this podcast. We've got a lot of good topics to discuss. So let's just get right into it. We'll start with the
local.
And to start there, just, you know, we talk about Bison football pretty much every podcast. And one of the things I have down here, Brad, as I look at the topics is who's a better pro prospect, Marcus Williams or Billy Turner? And as the week went on, I started thinking about that. I go, how are you and I going to discuss this? We're not scouts.
Yeah.
We wouldn't really know because it could go either way. I mean, you look at Billy Turner and you could say, well, I think he is because offensive lineman out of NDSU may have more stability. He's got the body size for it because he's a bigger kid at 6'7", I believe.
And he's been talked about for years.
Oh, yeah.
As a potential pro prospect.
So him, to me, might grade out better. But then Marcus Williams, because he's so talented athletically, he can return kicks for you. I don't know what his 40 is exactly, but I can't imagine it is a slow 40. But the other thing, too, that when you think about it, it's tough because, well, yeah, Marcus Williams is going to be a dime a dozen. There's going to be hundreds of cornerbacks that can run 4.5, 4.6, whatever he runs, and I hope it's a 4.5 or lower because you're not making the NFL if you don't run faster than that. But it really depends now if you go to that next level for him. Can he tackle?
Which has been an issue.
Can he tackle? Can he do, you know, can he guard kind of one-on-one without any of that? I mean, they play a Tampa 2 defense, really, at NDSU, which means the corners are kind of letting guys go into a zone if you're playing in pass coverage. And not discrediting Williams' talent, because he is the best corner that NDSU has had in a long time.
Yeah, one of the best things, and I think his best talent, and my dad uses the phrase, laying in the weeds. And if you let him do that when he's sitting back in zone, he is excellent at reading quarterbacks. And that's where he gets a lot of his interceptions, is he'll come off of his guy and step in front of somebody else to make those picks. And he gets a few, certainly covering his own guy. And, you know, as far as breaking it down, like you said, we're not scouts. But I think it's interesting because when you look at the way the NFL is going right now, cornerbacks are becoming a little bit more valuable.
That's
just
true.
Just because it's becoming so much more of a passing game. And when you look at the offensive attack of NDSU, what kind of blocking has Billy Turner been doing a lot of?
Run blocking.
A whole lot of run blocking, which doesn't happen as much in the NFL now.
Correct.
So when you're trying to weigh those scales out by that way, you can certainly see Williams, and Williams is going to get more highlights as well. And it's tough for us because we can grade out, and grade out is maybe the wrong term, but we can judge Marcus Williams a little bit better than we can Billy Turner, because we can watch Marcus Williams.
Right, exactly.
We can see a play develop. We can watch, you know, we can watch how he stays with his guy. While we can't break down all the fundamentals, we can see a little bit more with him. With Billy Turner, the best thing you can say about him is, man, we hardly ever hear anything about him during a game.
Right.
I mean, he just doesn't get beat very often.
But that can be really, you know, a positive when
you think about it like that.
Is that you never hear about him. You never hear about him messing up. Solid guy. I don't think he's ever been injured in his career, and if he has, it's been very minimal at that,
because
I don't remember him missing a large chunk of time. So that's one another thing too. If he's injury prone, he has a history of injuries, bad knees, bad ankles, whatever it is. But when you talk about size, Billy Turner has pro size.
Yes.
I mean, he's big. He's a cornerstone kind of blocker. Yep. He's been at left tackle since he's been a freshman. Yep. Kind of guy who should have went to the University of Minnesota, frankly.
And we've seen people from both the defensive backfield and the offensive line be able to make the pros. We've seen Rob Hunt for Indianapolis, I believe he played for a little while. And the secondary, we've seen Nick Schomer. We've seen Craig Dahl. Players who've made the pros. So those are the two positions, really, where we've seen, you know, Tyrone Braxton back in the day, cornerback. I mean, that's where we've seen a lot of the NFL players from the Bison come from.
Right. You're not necessarily going to see a quarterback. I don't think Brock Jensen's going to be in the NFL playing Sundays. But it really is those positions you see. Otherwise, you know, linebacker Joe Mays, who was recently cut by the Denver Broncos, and I profess that he should be signed by the Vikings. And I hope people, when they listen to us on 740 The Fan earlier this week, understood. I was being facetious. I was really just throwing something out there, hoping it'd stick. Because it doesn't even make sense. I mean, I don't even know if that's even possible that the Vikings would even go after him because of Desmond Bishop and Aaron Henderson. So, but be that as it may, that was something that we kind of talked about. But then, as I moved along throughout the week, another question came to my mind that I thought was better. What one player on this year's squad, because we talk about how good Marcus Williams and Billy Turner are, what one player, Brad, do you think on NDSU's squad that can ill afford to lose?
You know, and that was a really good question, and I thought about it, looked up and down the roster, thought about it, and honestly, I don't know that there is just one player that they could lose and be in trouble. I really don't. I mean, if a player gets hurt or when a player gets hurt, because you know what's going to happen at some point, is there going to be a little bit of a step back for your second-tier guy? Well, yeah, that's why he's a second-tier guy, but I don't know that there's one guy. That's how talented this team is. I don't know that there's one guy that they can lose that would really make that big of a difference. Now, where they would get into trouble is what we've seen before, where they start losing two or three guys at the same position. If you lose two or three linebackers, you lose two or three on the offensive line, that's where you get into trouble. If you're going to, you know, put my thumb to the fire and make me pick one, I guess I'd probably pick Jensen, but, and I know you disagree with that.
I do.
But honestly, I don't know that there is one guy. I think this team just might be that good where they can withstand the loss of any one guy.
To me, the one guy that can't lose, and I really thought about four players. Brock Jensen was one.
I'm sure Marcus Williams was one.
Billy Turner actually to me was a guy on the offensive line I thought they could ill afford to lose. And then Grant Olsen at linebacker.
Okay.
And to me, it's still Grant Olsen because we don't know about the depth.
Yeah.
And granted, we don't really know about the depth. We don't really know how good Carson Wentz is going to be, although I think he's going to be a star.
Yep.
We don't know who's backing up Billy Turner, but offensive lineman NDSU's done a great job of replacing them throughout the history of NDSU. Mm-hmm. Cornerbacks, they have depth there. We know that. They have depth beyond what they need at the secondary position. And I think Marcus Williams, even in special teams, he doesn't really do a lot unless they need the home run. It's usually Ryan Smith because he's more of a sure-handed guy than Marcus Williams. I think that would be the only reason they put Ryan Smith back there on punt returns. And even, I know they put Marcus Williams back there sometimes on kick returns, but
yeah, they got three guys that can return.
Right,
they've
exactly.
Got Smith and Williams and Dudzik can all do some returning.
So to me, it is Grant Olsen's the guy that can ill afford to lose. Because you look at what he did against Wofford, which was really big. You look how he stabilizes the entire linebacking position. And the other thing is we still have no idea about Travis Beck. We don't. Going forward, if he's not there, who's playing that outside linebacker position? And I think you and I are both in the camp that believes he's not, even if he does get reinstated to the team, which is highly likely, highly possible, I should say. I don't know if it's likely, but it's possible. He's not going to play against Kansas State. I really don't think he would.
Yeah, and I'm of the mindset of at maximum he's gone one game, and I think we agree
yes.
on that too.
Yeah.
So I don't really factor that in because whatever, if he's gone one game, he's gone one game. Not really concerned about that. He's
right.
going to be there going forward. I can see your argument for Grant Olsen. We've seen a little bit of Carson Wentz. I have more faith in Carson Wentz maybe than I do the other linebackers just because. I've seen a little bit of Wentz, and he's made a couple of good decisions, and has shown the ability to make a play. So I do have faith in him, but yeah, we don't really know the linebackers. But again, that being said, they churn out a couple of positions. It just doesn't matter. They just never seem to have weak spots without multiple injuries. It's linebacker, it's offensive line, it's running back.
When you look at this team from last year, Carlton Littlejohn, one of the outside linebackers, had 86 tackles, second on the team. Beck had 98, second on the team. Littlejohn was third. And Grant Olsen had 148. He would have won that title regardless of the 20,000 tackle game he had against Wofford.
Yeah.
He's really important to this team. He really is. And to me, it's not so much, it is the talent that he brings because he's a talented middle linebacker. But, you know, for the offense, the coach on the field is Jensen, which is very important. So you can't really discredit how much he means to that offense. But for the defense and how good they are, Olsen's the one that's bringing in the calls from the sidelines. He knows essentially what every player is supposed to be doing on whatever the set play is. And he still has to, you know, read and react and make plays. To me, it's really important, especially in this day and age, when every college is running a read option, it seems like. And every college is either going to go with the kind of, you know, am I going to pass, am I going to run in the shotgun formation. Defenses now have to get really complicated. Olsen has done a great job of handling that. Not only that, who are the backups to these guys? Yeah. We don't know.
And which is college football. I mean, you just don't know.
That's true.
You know.
But for NDSU's defense, I'll say this, I'll let you get to your point, but for NDSU's defense, it almost feels like we should, because the secondary, we know 6, 7, 8 guys that can play. Their defensive line runs in 6, 7, 8 guys that can play. The linebackers were so solid last year, played every game. Would really be willing to bet how many snaps they didn't play is very minimal.
Yeah, and the other side of it is if you've got two of the three units that are really, really good, you can maybe get away with one of the units not being quite as exceptional. So I can see both sides. So you're four guys. You had Turner, Williams, Jensen, Olsen.
Yes.
How would you rank them? Olsen one.
Olsen one. I would put Turner as two.
Okay.
Because, again, offensive line is very important. I'd probably put Marcus Williams three, because, again, the talent is there. He's one of the best players, but it's a position that can be replaced in my mind. And then I would put Jensen as four.
Okay. The only positional or of your four there, the only number that I would agree with you is Marcus Williams at three.
Yeah. You're right.
I would go Jensen one. I would go I would go with Grant Olsen two. And then I'd put Turner as the last of that group.
It makes sense. And it's a good question, because you look now in the NFL with everybody being in training camps, Percy Harvin could be out for a significant amount of time because of the labrum tear he had on his hip. You see Jeremy Maclin, a wideout for the Philadelphia Eagles, is out for the season with an ACL tear. Dennis Pitta for the Baltimore Ravens is out for the season. These things happen in preseason camp. NDSU, everything has had to go right the last 2 years in order for them to be 28-2 and two national championships. Yeah. And always that element of, well, you know,
the injury's coming.
The injury's coming. Kind of the thought in my back of my head is that they've been so safe with injuries. You even think how lucky Grant Olsen was last year to have the appendectomy.
Yeah, I mean, they've had a couple. They've had the wide receivers who've had significant injury issues at wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
And then the only other one that they've really had was Colton Hegel.
Yes.
And he's back this year.
Yeah, he's back this year, and they're able to. And Levon Perry was injured last year.
Yeah, Levon Perry, that's true.
They were able to do just fine because of the depth. The linebacker position to me is one that kind of worries me a little bit. Okay. Let's touch on this quickly, because we have a lot of topics to get to. It came out, Jeff Kolbach of The Forum had reported that Joel Lindbergh, the backup point guard for the NDSU men's basketball team, he had a knee injury last year. I think he had a little bit of surgery that kept him out for the entire season. Was a guy who played a little bit his freshman year along with Lawrence Alexander. It appeared that he'd be kind of the perfect suitable backup for a guy like L.A. who has really progressed his career leaps and bounds. Last year he was an unbelievable player, and you can tell if he can, you know, develop a jump shot, he may be really pretty unbelievable. But looking at this now, if Joel Lindbergh, and according to Jeff Kolbach, is just not healing the way NDSU would like him to, there's the possibility he may never play again. How big of a loss is this for the NDSU basketball team now, looking at the fact that they may have to have LA play 38 minutes every night?
To be fair, that's pretty much what he did last year.
It's true.
I mean, if LA, and it sounds, again, by in that same article, you know, Jeff talked about Lawrence and his injury. I mean, if he's back, he's full strength, and he's fine and stays healthy, I'm not real concerned, because they've got other guys that can handle the ball if they need to. I mean, Mike Felt, you don't want him to be your trigger guy, but he can get the ball across the timeline at least. And really, if you're going to put LA on the bench, you're going to have Braun in there.
Yes.
And Braun's going to be the guy. Braun's basically your backup point guard.
Right.
So from that angle, would it be nice to have a little bit more depth? Yeah, because you don't want to rely quite as heavily on those two guys. But it's tough to say, because we didn't, I mean, Lindbergh looked okay his freshman year,
right?
But it's tough to tell, because he hadn't, you know, he didn't have a Division I basketball body at that point.
Nope.
And hadn't been through that. So it was, you know, it was tough to say what he was going to
bring
turn
to the
into.
Table. Right.
Yeah. So it's tough for me to say, oh, this is a huge loss, because I didn't know what he was going to be to begin with. If he was, you know, was he going to be Nate Zastrow 2.0? Was he going to be somebody who could contribute a little bit more than that? We just didn't know.
Nate Zastrow, I think, got a raw deal. I really thought he should have played more. He turned the ball over quite a bit, just to go on my Nate Zastrow rant.
Okay, I didn't see a Nate Zastrow rant coming.
Yeah.
Here, but, okay.
Well,
Nate just didn't have the talent. I mean, he, and by all accounts, and I've talked to people who know him, that guy knows basketball. I mean, he is an incredibly, incredibly smart basketball mind. And the person I talked to said that he's going to be a coach someday and he's going to be a good one. Just because he just knows the game that well. But gosh, I think the size bug kind of got him.
Yeah.
A little bit. And he just wasn't a consistent enough shooter. That was their two things.
The hope was Ben Woodside reincarnated because it was the same size, but you don't get two Ben Woodsides. You don't get that lucky. He had that great freshman year, had a couple games, one against South Dakota State where he sent it like into overtime eight times down in Brookings when the NDSU men's basketball team was just absolutely awful, yet they continuously beat South Dakota State, a better team, and it was amazing to me. But going back to Lindbergh, I think the biggest concern I have with it is that what does the team do roster-wise and controlling minutes, because it's a long season, and this Summit League is theirs to lose, in my opinion. And Denver's going to come in. I think they're going to be good.
And they're a question mark because we've never seen them.
And we've never seen them. But this is the year not only for NDSU, but for Saul Phillips really as a coach. I get that he's probably going to get a contract extension. That's probably going to happen because he's done a good job. But he really needs to kind of legitimize the fact that he is a better coach than what people think. Because I think there is that question out there, is that thought out there that he was gifted the NCAA tournament berth, because those weren't his players. Those weren't his recruits.
He
did have a hand in getting Mike Nelson because he's a Wisconsin kid, but that was Tim Miles' team that he put together. And that was the Tim Miles team that ended up going to the NCAA tournament.
And the top recruiter for that team was Todd Coring, I think, was the guy who did a lot of the recruiting for Tim Miles. So if you're looking, but I see both sides that, did he recruit the guys? Maybe not, but you know what? He coached them and he got them there.
Yeah, that's true, because there can be major fall-offs when it's you go from one coach to another.
Different coaches.
Right.
Coach Miles, offense, 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 offense.
And Saul is very much defense.
And Saul is very, so, I mean, that was a little bit of a switch for those guys. So, yeah, I mean, but the part that there was questions about was, can he recruit? And he's shown, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I can do that.
With guys like Marshall Bjorklund, probably in my mind one of the most underrated mid-major players, because he doesn't dunk, he's not flashy, but he's so consistent. All he does is rebound and score, and that's what you want from a post guy. He's solid defensively. He's getting better there, but offensive is his game. He has such soft hands around the basket. His feet work is getting so much better. Footwork, I should say. And then Taylor Braun is kind of developing into that player that what they hope from him. You know, they redshirted him right away his freshman year, and then the hope was that he'd be the star, and he has became this guy who had, two Division I scholarships given to him, and he's from Oregon.
Yep.
And the fact that he came to NDSU is just, it's a story you'd have to, if you ever get a chance, ask him about, because it's a little odd. I think he had a family member that knew Saul that lived in the area or something weird like that. But it's one of those things where those happen in mid-major schools, because there's no way that he should be playing at North Dakota State. He should be on the West Coast right now. But, you know, you find a diamond in the rough. And to me, going back to the original question, which was, does it hurt him roster-wise? I think it's just a question of, can they balance the minutes? Because those guys are going to need rest.
You know, and who's, you know, their other guards, they got Felt, they've got Brown, and they've got
Braun, and they have
and
LA.
And Braun, usually they list him as a guard, but they start him at the three.
Now. Because Corey came in and kind of solidified that two spot on defense.
Yep. So who do they have somebody, another guard that they're going to have incoming?
You know, looking at the guys, Carlin Dupree, which I know nothing about, honestly. I believe he is a guard. And then A.J. Jacobson, who in my mind they're going to redshirt. They're going to let him bulk up. One of those guys, too, in my opinion, really good. Played for Shanley. Played Class A basketball in the state of North Dakota. Best player in the state of North Dakota. In your back guard, you have to recruit him, especially with the ties. His mom is a NDSU Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
You have to recruit him, or else you look dumb. You really do. So he was one of the guys that you recruit him, you give him a scholarship, you redshirt him. If he develops the way you think he will, then great. You got the right guy. If he doesn't, no harm, no foul. You know, it's worse if he goes away to, say, South Dakota State or maybe some small Minnesota college and becomes a stud. And you go, how do you miss this guy? The best way I can relate that to, there's a kid who's going to be golfing for the University of Kansas by the name of Ben Welly. He finished second in an amateur championship in golf. Morehead High School graduate. Won the high school state tournament as a golfer. Didn't get recruited by NDSU. Didn't get recruited by UND. Didn't get recruited by any of the South Dakota schools. Backyard guy. and now he's going to go to the University of Kansas after a year at a junior college in Arizona. You can't miss on guys like that. You can't miss on backyard players. So, to me, getting a guy like Jacobs...
I don't know that I agree with you. But...
Well, why not?
Because, I mean, just because they're the best player in the state of North Dakota doesn't mean they can play. Now, obviously, this kid's good, but I mean... I don't think you recruit them just because they're the best player in the state.
But you look at them because they're in your state. It's a small state. The crop that is coming out of state is not huge. We're not talking Miami, University of Florida, and Florida State.
I understand that. But the question is, where are the choices? It doesn't come down to me, you got to look at the guy because he's a local. Well, you take a look at him, sure. But it comes down to, if I have one scholarship to offer and I've got Jacobson and whoever player B is, which one do you think is better?
I almost think that it's tough to try and relate that.
I get your point
because it's very valid. I do. I understand what you're saying, where you're going to go, I need a forward. Jacobson's a guard. I'm not going to give my scholarship to a guard.
And even with that, I'm kind of whatever. You take the best player. And if you get the best, I mean, for goodness sake, Villanova made a four-guard offense work. I mean, they started four guards. So if you get good players, you just get talent. You get the best guys.
Yeah. Well, it's a topic, I guess, that we've discovered we're going to have a conversation about later, because we're going to move on now and we're going to get to some
regional
topics. And starting out here as I look at my sheet, I'm going to skip training camp. I think that's kind of...
We'll get there. I mean, we'll get there. A month out before we start playing games, and we'll talk about injuries, and that's going to be the biggest thing during training camp.
Yeah. And what we kind of touched on a little bit, does the trade, and this is, we can just touch on, because I guess I have more national topics than anything, but does, people are going to say, well, Minnesota was smart for trading Percy Harvin now that he's hurt. Yeah. Do you buy that argument?
Oh, I love revisionist history. I don't buy that argument. You know, who knows what exactly caused it? Did he just happen to cut Rogan at one point in time? Is there any way to show that he would have done the same thing in Vikings training camp? Maybe it was the surface. You have no idea what it was that caused it. So you can't say that just because he got hurt now, with the exception of, well, it turns out that he's had this nagging injury for a while. And, then I can see, yes, that makes it a good reason, because you took that into account when you made the deal of that. You know, we're not sure this guy's going to stay healthy. Maybe they did. I don't think for that reason, though. Yeah. Does that make sense?
It does to me. Okay. And I you're going to hear about that. You know you're going to hear, well, it's a good thing that they got rid of him because now he's hurt. Well, idea.
It'll be a good thing that they got rid of him if Greg Jennings is able to step up.
And
Cordarrelle Patterson. That's why it's a good decision, not because he got hurt.
Yeah, but you're going to hear that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, people, Viking fans are going to say, it's a good thing we got rid of Harvin. We didn't have to deal with that headache, pot-smoking idiot. You know, they're going to say stuff like that, and they're glad that he's hurt, but... To me, that's just a complete fluke thing.
And honestly, I'm disappointed because
I
wanted to watch him in that offense. I thought he and Russell Wilson and Marshawn Lynch would have been a ton of fun. And I mean, I want to watch good. I want to see the best players play. And you hate to see it when these guys get hurt.
Yeah. Oh, I completely agree. So that's our little regional story we're going to move on to.
National.
And we have some good topics here. I'm looking at these, and I don't like to pat myself on the back, but
I will from time to time.
On the show. 740 The Fan, the Jack Michael Show. I filled in Tuesday of this last week, I should say. And one of the things that had come out earlier, I think it was Monday, Sunday, was Ryan Braun being suspended for the rest of the season.
Yep.
For his use of PEDs, or whatever it is. The question I asked, because the guy was given a re-up on his contract, I want to say before or after his MVP season. I can't remember for sure. But he was using PEDs at the time, 2011, because that's when it came out that the test was positive and he was going to be suspended, and he appealed because the handling of it was wrong. You know, the UPS guy or whatever it was got thrown under the bus, just a complete garbage situation. But he appealed it, and then he came out and had this great speech about how he has been...
It was good.
Oh, yeah.
It was good.
He'd been vilified, that he was no longer under the spotlight, that he's glad that he could do this for those who... had been accused but weren't guilty, and he knows baseball, what's good for baseball, and just all these great topics just made you feel so great for the guy because he won. He won, and we want to make our players clean, and we want it to be, you know, apple pie and baseball and Mickey Mantle and yippee. And then he comes out gets this contract extension, is set to make hundreds of millions of dollars till 2021. He's going to be a Brewer for life, essentially. And it comes out again that, you used. And not even that. There was so much information, evidently, against him that he just said, okay, cool, I don't even want to come out, I'm done. You can serve me the suspension and we're good. The question I have is, do you believe that Ryan Braun basically stole from the Milwaukee Brewers? You have a great take on this, and so I'll let you have the mic.
And you made that argument on Tuesday that you feel like he stole. I don't know that he stole, because I think for the time that he was using, they both profited. I mean, the Brewers sold tickets, they won a playoff series, and that brings in a lot of money when you're able to have more home playoff games. He earned probably more than what they were paying him at that point. And you saw everybody was wearing either a Fielder or a Braun jersey, and then after Fielder left, it was all Braun jerseys. They sold a lot of merchandise on the bat and glove and legs of Ryan Braun. So from that sense, I don't know that you can say that he stole. For this time that he's being suspended, they're not going to have to pay him. The only way that it turns into you're getting this money fraudulently is if, when he comes back from suspension, he is not the player that he was. If it was the PEDs that made him that player, and now all of a sudden, instead of being this whatever $20 million player, if now all of a sudden he's a $10 million player, then you can say, you know what, he earned some of that money under false pretenses. If he comes back and still a good player, I don't know that you can consider it stealing. Everybody profited.
Which I think he was a good player before this. And
he's a great player.
This extension that I talked about happened back in April of 2011. And the MVP was the 2011 season. So he got it before the MVP season. And to me, that justifies the fact that I think he was stealing. That he literally went to them and said, yeah, okay, I'll sign this big contract. I'm all for it. He knows what he's doing. He's using drugs illegally to enhance his performance. And it's like, you know, how do I relate this? It's me cutting corners at work and then getting praised and a pay raise for it. That's how I look at it. And where the other guy, Steve Aoka, is an outfielder for the Milwaukee Brewers, works his butt off, is a solid player, hits about 300, whatever. He's not cutting corners. He's not using PEDs, but he's expendable. And he's the kind of guy that's like right on the fringe that you can replace him. He looks over at the locker, his corner outfielder, Ryan Braun, using PEDs, getting hundreds of millions of dollars because he's cutting corners. That's a frustrating thing for a player, but that also to me is an essentially stealing, going right at your owner going, yeah, I should be justified for my performance out on the field. I should be justified. I should be paid handsomely for it, even though I'm doing it illegally, essentially.
The only way that I think it gets to that point is if he doesn't perform to that level going forward. You know, for the money that he's gotten up until now, the player that he's been, on or off PEDs, whatever, he's earned every bit of it because he's been a superstar player. He's been one of the top four players in the league.
He has.
Maybe probably top three. You can go with him, Miguel Cabrera, and Mike Trout over the last couple of years in some order.
Yeah. Yeah,
and that's the list.
Yeah, and he has been that good.
And
no questions.
He's been that good. So, and as much as we don't, as sports fans, we don't like the let's just wait and see. We want to make declarations that are set in stone right now. It is, and maybe this is bad. Maybe this isn't as good of podcast or radio that I'm doing because I'm saying we got to wait and see. But really, that's it. If he comes back and he's a 270 hitter and hits 15 home runs and steals 25 bases going forward, yeah, then he's stealing money from the Brewers because the money that he earned, the contract that they gave him was because he was an MVP type player. And if he comes back off PEDs and is not an MVP caliber player, I support your argument 100%.
Would you do it? If you were guaranteed the kind of money that he is, would you do the same thing? And we don't even have to relate it to baseball. We could relate it to anything else. If you could get by doing something that you knew was illegal, but the payoff was going to be so great, and that's a lot of money. Never work a day of my life again money.
Yeah. It's impossible, and most sports fans out there say, psh, no way, man. There's no way I'd do it. Man, you have no idea what you do until you're put in that situation.
Right.
And I don't think I would, I would like to think that that my parents raised me well enough to, you know, for something like that. And I don't believe that I would, but if you're a fringe player, if you're Nick Punto and you have worked every day and you've been a hustle kind of guy and you've worked hard every day and had to put everything in it just to be a fringe utility player in the major leagues, and the difference between being able to play Major League Baseball for a living every day or having to go back and work in a grocery store, if the difference between those two things is taking PEDs, that conversation really, really changes for those of us who love to play the game.
I'd do it. I mean, I'd do it in a heartbeat. That kind of money is just unreal. And even if you get caught, how much of it is he owned? Yeah. I mean, in that contract, we don't know what the specifics are of it. You know, we don't know if he's guaranteed this or this or this.
Everything's guaranteed. Well, I mean, the money's guaranteed in baseball.
Right. So that to me would be, yeah, if I'm going to get that money, of course I'm going to do it, because that's just, it's $100 million.
Yeah, and see, the question, one of the questions, one of the places where I'd feel a little more confident in saying no is if you're Barry Bonds. If you're a Hall of Fame player.
Without the PEDs.
And who knows if he was using something else before that. We don't know.
No, we don't.
But he didn't use the stuff that started making his head grow.
Flaxseed oil.
Yeah, flaxseed oil, yeah. We didn't see, you know, that's the question. If you go from being a Hall of Fame player to being, you know, if you take PEDs out of the discussion, quite possibly the best hitter ever to play the game. And he's got the numbers to back it up. I mean... To me, I don't think you do that, because if you're risking, well, hey, I go back to the grocery. If I get busted and get thrown out of baseball, I'm going back to the grocery store anyway.
Yeah.
You know, whereas I can lose all of these things if I'm already a great player. Then I think that's where the what are you doing question comes into play. But if you're a fringe guy and this is what you need to make the show and continue to play baseball for a living, I get it.
Well, it's an interesting question. And Ryan Braun, of course, is going to go on and going to get paid his millions of dollars. And he used and essentially, I mean, he basically got away with it. And
yeah.
So good for him, I guess, in a way. But to me, the whole steroids thing, it just kind of went from, oh my goodness, to, well, all right, now it's, well, I wonder if Chris Davis is on steroids. I wonder if he's using with the kind of seasons he's having. So.
And they've done it for all sports.
Yep.
I mean, you know, we see Adrian Peterson come back. We see RG3 come back early. We're like, you know, Andy Pettit said he used HGH to help him come back from an injury and that it was helpful.
Right.
What do you think? You think maybe? And unfortunately, that's the shadow that's cast right now.
It is. And it's just part of it. The one thing you can say is, well, why don't they just make it legal and put everybody on the same playing field? But to me, I almost think that's just a really stupid argument.
And this just doesn't make, this makes no sense to me. Why do each of the pro sport leagues not just come out with their own supplements? Partner with GNC and just give your baseball players or your players of whatever sports league a list and say, here are the supplements that are legal. If it doesn't have our seal on it, don't use it.
Yeah,
doesn't that really solve all the problems?
Well, I mean, that can, but you know, nobody's going to be, there's going to be people that are going to step out of side of that because they're going to.
I understand that, but then, at least with this way, it's, well, we don't know, you know, you have to get these things from all these different places. No, you get them from right here. We have them. These are the things, this is what they do, and everything that we're using here is fine for you to use.
It's not a bad idea. I don't know if the drugs in that regard may ever be solved, because technology is constantly moving forward and you're going to find something that people can use that won't be detectable. So we'll move on from this topic. The one thing that I'm going to throw at you cold, Brad, and I told you I was going to.
Yeah, you were really excited about this.
I was.
So I'm anxious to hear.
I want you to tell me who you think the top quarterbacks are in the NFL right now in your mind. And then from there.
How many?
I want top five quarterbacks.
Top five?
And then I'm going to tell you who are the top five paid quarterbacks and see if they match
up. You want them in order?
I want them in order in your mind who you think the top five quarterbacks are right now.
Aaron Rodgers, number one.
Okay.
I would probably say Peyton Manning, probably number two. Tom Brady. Drew Brees. Number five. I got a lot of names. If healthy, probably number five. The names that are going through are RG3, which I know RG3, Russell Wilson, Andrew Luck, none of those three are going to be on that list.
Right.
And the other guy is Cam Newton, which who wouldn't be on that list either. It would be one of those four. If you put my feet to the fire and say just for next year, I'd probably say RG3. If you said going forward, I'd probably say Andrew Luck.
Okay. Looking at this list, and it's not completely updated. It's from April. So if I remember right, Aaron Rodgers is your one.
Okay.
I think, and this is going into this year, but looking at it, Joe Flacco's got the most money of any quarterback, $120.6 million.
Makes sense.
No, it doesn't.
Man gambled on himself and won a Super Bowl and had one of the best playoff runs ever. I mean...
Yeah, I'm not going to give him $120 million, though.
It's not $120 million.
Well, no, but I'm not going to put that money down. I'm going to say, you know, maybe $100 mil. You know, we'll look at the guaranteed amount, but again, yeah, you have to remember...
I mean, the guaranteed amount is what we got to look at. But anyway, okay.
You got to remember,
so you got
too.
Flacco.
You have Flacco in there. Looking at this quickly as I go through. I think Matt Ryan is second now.
And Matt Ryan was another guy. I can see him being in that same discussion of that number five guy, too.
$103 million, I believe,
sounds
is what
right.
he gets. But Aaron Rodgers would actually be more.
Okay.
Because Aaron Rodgers at $110 million. But there's your top three.
Okay.
Also falling in that category, you got to look at Tony Romo at $108 million. And I'm a Cowboy fan, and I don't get that one. $108 million, but he's four. And then Drew Brees is at $100 million.
Okay.
So those are your top five. Pretty close.
Yeah.
But it's funny now. Tony Romo's completely overpaid. Drew Brees signed his extension in 2012, last year. So that, to me, it's justified because he's the face of the franchise, A, and B. He's really good in that offense. He's the reason that offense is so good. I mean, that I get. I don't get Joe Flacco because he's done it more as a team, and I think any quarterback with an arm, if you throw into that system, would be good. Had a heck of a playoff run, really showed everybody what he's made of, but, I mean... I look at this list, some other guys who are... Here's some money that's going into next year, how much they're making. Aaron Rodgers is going to get $22 million coming into this season. Joe Flacco, $20.1 million. Drew Brees, $20 million. Peyton Manning, $19.2 million. Tony Romo's at $18 million. I could throw Eli Manning in that offense. They'd win a Super Bowl. Eli Manning's what? Won two Super Bowls now? Think of that. Eli Manning. He's got more Super Bowls than his brother. That doesn't make sense to me.
No.
Phillip Rivers. But... To me, if Philip
Rivers is off a cliff, he went off a cliff.
Oh, yeah,
he
did.
He's done, son.
Done, son. $93 million, 38.5 of it guaranteed. He gets 15.5 this year. How about Matt Schaub's contract? $62 million, but he's getting 15.4 this year.
He's a classic. I'm going to put up good numbers in kind of the garbage time.
Ben Roethlisberger, if he ever stayed healthy, maybe he'd be a lot better. Sam Bradford, another if he stay healthy. I can understand. Mark Sanchez, way too much money. $13.5 million. What is it with New York teams just signing some garbage players? You know, you think of their basketball days before they were good with the Knicks.
Well,
I mean, they had some bad contracts then.
That was Isaiah Thomas. I mean, that was all Isaiah.
Well, yeah. He doesn't know how to run a team
unless
he's out on the floor. Here's the other thing, too. You have Tom Brady's getting $11.4 million.
Do you know what quarterback had the most fourth quarter comebacks last year?
Colin Kaepernick. Who?
Tony Romo.
Really?
Yep. Five fourth quarter comebacks.
Huh. I didn't know that. He's not $108 million. That's five fourth quarter comebacks and no Super Bowl rings. Joe Flacco, I can see 108.
Okay.
I can't understand 120.6 over 6 years. I can't.
I mean,
but, again, the guy won a Super Bowl. Yeah, I get all that.
But here's the thing. If you're going to start over, if you have to start over with your quarterback, the Ravens have shown we can win a Super Bowl with Joe Flacco. And if you have to start over with that position in today's NFL, unless you hit the money draft with the RG3, Andrew Luck, Russell Wilson, you know, you're in complete reset mode until you find that guy.
Yeah. I get it why quarterbacks are getting the contracts they do. And Matt Ryan and Joe Flacco, to me, they deserve the money, not maybe as much as they're getting, but they deserve a good amount of money because they are franchise quarterbacks. So speaking of franchise-type money,
Oh, look at that transition.
I'll get
You're
to
a radio,
yes.
professional radio guy over there.
I want to get to your topic because you wanted to talk about it. And you brought it up last week about if there were 12 players in the NBA or if you had franchise-type money, which in my mind means the most money you can give to a player to be, you know, the franchise guy, carry the franchise for the next 10 years, whatever.
So, yeah. So, if you the idea is right now with the salary cap structure in the NBA, you can label one guy basically as your franchise guy and give him, you know, the max money and give him more money than you can any other player on your roster. Give him higher raises, everything. So the question that I had was, how many players would you give that to?
Yes.
Because obviously there's 32 of those contracts that are 30, excuse me, of those contracts that are out there to be able to give out. But how many players are really worth that? How many players do I feel confident? If this guy's the best player on my team, I think we got a shot. I think we got a pretty good shot.
Okay. And now, you came up with how many, did you say?
I think my number is 13.
I think my number is 13.
I could be talked into a couple more, but there's 13 I feel pretty confident
Okay,
about.
So I want you, we did this last week with the Dwight Howard.
Yep.
I want you to tell me the 13 in the NBA right now. I don't care about lists, who you think is top, bottom, whatever. Just throw the 13 at me and I'll tell you if I agree or not.
And I'll say this is either for next year, if I'm 100% sure for next year, or if I'm reasonably confident that in the next 3 years they're going to develop into that guy. That's kind of how I went with it. So for me, the for sure is LeBron, Durant. Thanks. LeBron, Durant, and Chris Paul are three that we're not going to question. I mean, those are three guys. Russell Westbrook, James Harden.
Okay. I can go with that. Yes, I can.
Harden falls into that reasonably confident. I don't know that he's quite there, but I think he's close enough to where if he's the best player on my team, I think we got a decent shot.
I think after this year, we'll really be able to tell.
Okay. Tony Parker.
Wow. Okay. All right.
He's got to have the right team, but if he's the best player on my team, I'm pretty confident that I can.
Even now? We're looking at it now.
Yep.
He's on the other side of 33, I want to say.
He's not quite. He's 30 or 31, I think. You can look that up. But but for next year, again, I'm 100% sure that next year he can be that guy.
Let's see, 82. Yeah, 31.
31.
Okay.
Carmelo Anthony.
Yes. How many is that now?
I'm up to 7.
Okay.
If Kobe Bryant's healthy.
Still?
I'm still going to put Kobe on the list until I see him come back and be a shell of himself.
Okay.
So I'm going to put Kobe on that list.
I'm having a tough time agreeing with that one because he's getting...
I get the argument against.
He's, the injury, he's getting up there in age. He's been around forever.
How old do you think Kobe is?
I'm going to say 36 or 37. He's 34?
34. Yeah, 34.
No way.
34.
Wait, when these players come into the league at 18...
So it's a lot of miles. It's an old 34, but it's 34.
Yeah, I don't know if I give him that much money, though, with the whole...
I think for next year, again, until I see him not be able to do it, I'm going to keep putting my money on that. I'm going to keep putting my money on that square and feel okay about it.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Dwayne Wade.
No. Nope. Absolutely not.
I understand why you would say no.
Those knees are too much. Knees to me are too much of an issue going forward if I'm going to give him that much money. Dwayne Wade isn't even the... I get that he plays with LeBron James. I get that, but... I don't think he's the best player on a lot of teams in the NBA, even teams that may not have your legitimate star.
Yeah.
I mean, the bad teams out there, like the Charlotte Bobcats and the New Orleans Pelicans.
The Pellies.
Yes. I've seen that article.
For next year.
Yeah.
For 1 year. I can see the argument against. I'm not going to go into the argument for. But I think he has one more year left of being able to
all
be
right.
that guy.
What is that, 9 or 8?
I'm up to 9.
Okay.
Kyrie Irving. He's in that. I'm really confident in the next 3 years he's going to get there.
Okay. All right.
Steph Curry.
Yes. I love Steph. Love me some Steph Curry.
Derrick Rose.
Yes.
And you could talk me into Kevin Love.
Oh, yeah.
I know you say for sure. I say, yeah. I feel pretty confident in Kevin Love
too.
As well. That's 13.
Okay.
Those are my 13 guys.
Do you have any fringe guys?
I got a few fringe guys. Duncan, if he played more minutes. I just can't do it quite with the fact that he only plays 28 minutes.
I can't
minutes.
Do it because he's old. He's been around forever.
His numbers are the same, though. His numbers are the exact same as he was when he was younger. And that's
here's
just
the other
thing,
though. We're talking about giving a guy this kind of money for a franchise. How do you build around him? I think he's really good because he has players around him. And he's always had players
part
around
of it,
him.
But he just makes everything. That's why he's a fringe guy. That's why he's not on the list. That's why, to me, he's a fringe guy.
Okay.
I think that Darren Williams is a fringe guy.
Yeah, if he cut the attitude.
Yep.
He thinks he's not a fringe guy.
Yeah.
That's his problem. He thinks he's better than he is.
Mark Gasol is a fringe guy.
I think if his offensive game develops, defensively, he's there. He's already the premier defensive player in the league. Obviously, he won the award for Defensive Player of the Year. If his offensive game picks up a little bit, he's nothing more to me than Serge Ibaka.
Yeah, he's better offensively than Serge, though. He's got some a post game.
But I get that. But in order for me to give him kind of money that I think my team's going to...
fringe guy.
Yeah, fringe.
Yep. And I think for 1 year, I could still, and I have a
you're
soft
gonna say
spot.
It. You're going to say
I'm
it.
I'm going to say Dirk Nowitzki.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Dwight Howard.
No. Because that's where this discussion came from, is that neither you and I thought that Howard was there. I have a soft spot for Nowitzki. I don't have a soft spot for Howard. You made me argue for Howard last week, I didn't enjoy any of it.
Okay. I like the 13. I would totally disagree with Dwayne Wade.
Yep.
And
you kind of disagree with Kobe.
I kind of do. But to me, that's more the guy is – it's different with Kobe than it is with Wade. Wade did it back when the 2006.
Correct.
With just him. And Shaq was there, but whatever. Dwayne Wade was at he hit his peak in 2006, the knee injuries have just devastated what he could have been. Because if he is at what he's at in 2006, and LeBron James is where he's at now, that team wins 72 games in my mind.
I'd give him that money for 1 year. I don't think I'd give it to him for three or four.
I like the players you put on there, though, and Kevin Love. You know, I need him to prove he's more than just a really good guy as a post player that can kind of spread out the floor. Because there's kind of a lot of those guys in the NBA. How is he going to differentiate himself? I'm talking, and the way you looked at it would probably be the same way. I'm talking about a guy I want to give that much money to that I can look at and go, here's 10 extra wins because he's on our team. Is Kevin Love that guy? That see, to me, you don't know because Minnesota has been so bad.
I mean, yes, but you don't know.
You don't know. There are the guys, like you said, Kevin Durant is automatically 10 more wins because he's just that good. LeBron James, too, and Chris Paul as well.
LeBron James is probably 15 to 20 more.
Oh, yeah. Which and you noticed that with the Cavs. When he was with the Cavs, it was just like, how are they good? Because he's he's making all these buckets and he's scoring all these points
and he
is the entire team.
Best player was Mo Williams.
Oh, yeah. The year they went to the NBA Finals, right? They had
Mo Williams, Anderson Varejao, and Zydrunas Ilgauskas.
Oh, man. They are just...
Danielle Marshall, I think, was a key player on that team.
Yeah. Think about how bad that team was and he still took them to the NBA Finals. So I like that topic. Let's get to these other topics. We have a few minutes left before we reveal our fourth and final member of the Mount Rushmore of NDSU football. What, Brad, going in with the kind of party aspect of it because of the wedding, and I had a beer topic on here and a song that you would want to listen to at a wedding. We probably won't get to those because I want to get to this one.
Okay.
On Deadspin, which is my kind of like morning newspaper field, deadspin.com, they always take a satirical look at sports, it seems like. And one of the more satirical things that they've been posted a lot of lately is rushing the field.
Yeah.
And you see a lot of games, it's the dumbest thing you could do. It really is.
Yes.
It's just idiotic. You don't get any kind of anything out of it.
Don't tase me, bro.
Yes, that's about it. But if you could get away with it, Brad, if you could rush the field at any sporting event you wanted, I think I did put a stipulation in here about where you may or may not have been able to. Yeah. I didn't really, actually.
What would be the perfect setting for you to do it and get away with it?
Yeah, go. Yeah. What would it be?
It's probably going to be a December or January game in either Soldier Field or Green Bay during the middle of a blizzard. Man, if I ran out in the middle of a blizzard, you wouldn't be able to see me. They might not even notice I'm on the field. I might be able to catch a pass. And they wouldn't have any idea. I mean, to me, that's perfect.
Okay. See, I have issues.
It's going to be cold.
It's going to be
really cold.
And what are you doing? Are you going, we're not streaking here, are we? Are you going tidy whiteys? Are you going boxers?
I couldn't go much more if I'm going to keep the, you know, if I'm going to stay invisible.
I would assume you got to go probably nothing else
pretty
but
close.
The boxers.
Yeah.
Well, okay. That I like that. However, how are you going to get out of it? Because you got to get away with this, too.
They're not going to see me, man. I'm the White Shadow. I'm invisible out in the middle of a blizzard.
That's true. Okay. Okay. For me, it would be a Sunday, but it would be a soccer game at NDSU. During a soccer game there.
That's mean.
Because
that's mean.
Well, it's not mean, but I can rush the field. There's not a lot of people there. There are fans that show up, and they're a good soccer team. It's not, but there's nobody there, really. You have pretty much open field in all directions around you. You run onto the field. You run across it. And then you run off, and then you
Ryan
find...
Ryan Peralt's going to come out there
you
and
find a car.
You.
Oh, Ryan, he'd be flying after me. But I'm saying, if you're going to do it and get away with it, that would be the venue to me, because I'm looking at logistics and I'm looking at how do I get away with this. I needed an escape plan for this because I want to be smart about it. The security can't be heavy at an NDSU soccer game.
It really isn't.
So if I'm just standing, kind of chatting with people, and I'm just like, all right, cool, I'll see you later, and just book it for the other end, everybody's going to be like, what is he doing? And then I'm going to be able to get away with it. To me,
all I need is a blizzard.
To me, that is where I am going if I am. If I'm trying to get away with rushing the field, that's the perfect venue. So, all right.
I think we got time for one more of your topics. How are we doing on time?
We're about 5 minutes away.
Okay.
So let's go to this topic right here. What, Brad, are your top five beers? Because I had quite a bit of beer this weekend. And I was thinking about it too. I was like, man, I like a lot of beers.
Yeah.
And not just your garbage Miller Lights, Bud Lights, Coors Lights. What are your top five favorite beers?
If I had to pick one of those, I feel like I have to throw one of those in there. It would be Coors Light.
Okay.
It would be kind of that. My favorite beer is Sam Adams Oktoberfest.
Okay,
of Sam Adams Oktoberfest.
Okay.
And Sam Adams makes two appearances on my list because I'm also a big Boston Lager fan.
Okay.
So it would be, so if I got those three, I would also throw on there, I got to throw Audible Ale on there from Red Hook. The official beer of the Dan Patrick Show.
Right.
Because I'm a big, big Dan Patrick fan.
We should get an official beer of the Pinto and White Shadow Show. I wish that'd be great.
I got a guy who knows the person who runs the Fargo Brewery.
I met him the other day.
Did you?
Too. Yeah. We might have to be in conversation.
Yeah.
So anyways.
And then if I'm in the mood for something different, I do like cider beers. I've had a few different kinds of cider beers. Woodchuck, Red Apple Ale, Angry Orchard. If I had to pick one of those, I'd probably say Woodchuck, but any of the three are good. So
okay.
Try to have a couple of different types there, but those would be my five.
You're going Sam Adams heavy. I go Leinenkugel's heavy.
Okay.
Summer Shandy and Blue Moon are my top two, and either or, doesn't matter.
Okay.
They're both delicious. Creamy Dark from Leinenkugel's is really
good. I had
good.
One of those at Red Hawks game
not too long ago. That's a great beer.
Very good.
Oh, yeah.
Very impressive.
A lot of taste, and it doesn't leave a bad aftertaste,
yes.
Which you can get with some of these.
Yes.
A Grain Belt Northeast. If you've ever had it, really good beer. I suggest you try it because you'll like it. Grain Belt Northeast. And speaking of the Fargo Brewing Company, I had their Summer Wheat the other day. It was really good.
Okay.
Really good. For a local beer, it's a little bitter, but if you like the pale ales kind of way with it, the Summer Wheat to me is the way to go. So those are my five.
Yeah.
I do drink Bud Light and Coors Light. I'm not like a beer schnob at all. But if I just want to sit down and have a beer, I would go with, if these were my five options, I'd be just happy. So, all right, as we get to the end of the show, again, Pinto and White Shadow Podcast. Brad, your Twitter handle is?
I'm at the Bison Guy.
And I am at PintoKFGO. Go ahead and follow us on Twitter.
We got to get an email address created for the show.
We will.
We'll do that for next week's show.
That'll be next week's show.
We'll have an email for the show.
My email is dan.gunderson@mwcradio.com. Email me with your comments. You can comment on the podcast page. I saw somebody say that they're not going to listen to us because there's too much sports on KFGO already. Somebody commented on our podcast show. I don't know what, yeah.
Well, we're probably not their target audience.
Yeah, I guess not.
They're not our target audience.
Didn't appreciate what we do on Sundays, I guess. I don't know. They've got an issue with what we do. But they're not listening, so they don't know we're bashing them right now. And so that's good if you want to try and follow us and make your comments where you feel appropriate. Let's get to the last here as we kind of wrap up the show. Brad, we have three of our four NDSU, Mount Rushmore, Bison football, they've been established.
Yep.
Run through your three again quickly.
Yeah, I've got Jeff Bentram, Chris Simdorn, Phil Hansen.
Okay, and I have Lamar Gordon, Steve Walker, Phil Hansen. So we agree there. Your fourth member and final of the Mount Rushmore of Bison football.
I struggled with this a lot.
And I know you did, so I'm very curious to see what it is.
And Right now, honestly, what I'd like to do is leave it blank, because I think you have to have somebody from these national championship teams on there. And I know where you're going, and I think that spot's going to be held by Brock Jensen. I think he's the guy that's going to get it, because I mean, he's had a couple of quarterback sneaks. He's had a couple of huge runs. The big plays outside of the Travis Beck interception that have been made for the Bison in these playoff runs have been made by Brock Jensen on a number of occasions. And I you'd like to give it to, I'm not going to do, I'm going to put up the entire defense. I'm not, you're not going to do that. I out of principle, I can't put a guy on there though who's still playing.
So are you telling me you're leaving it blank? It's just,
I'm for right now,
we're still trying to cut out the stone because you're so undecisive of this.
It's not undecisive. It's just, I think is going to be there versus
undecisive.
The principal.
You're being undecisive.
It's going to be Brock Jensen.
Then say it's going to be Brock Jensen.
I can't put him. He's not done yet.
Well, if you think it's going to be him, what what is he going to do in the next 6 months that would make you take this away? Is he going to completely tank this year and throw down a three-peat down the toilet? Is that what you think could happen?
You know, it's sports. That's why we watch, is you don't know what's going to happen. If you're going to press me the fire, I'm going to put Jensen on there, which I know is really quarterback heavy, really kind of quarterback snobbish having three quarterbacks on there, but that's my guy.
Okay. My guy is from these national championships, Craig Bull. And I understand that he's not the winningest coach in NDSU history yet.
Yeah.
It's Rocky Hager. But, Rocky Hager, you could have an argument for why isn't he up there? He won two national titles.
He won more than two, didn't he?
What I'm looking at right now, he only won two. Okay. But there was Earl Solmson. I'm pronouncing that wrong.
I don't know what the actual pronunciation is, but I know it's not that.
Solomonson?
That could be Solomonson.
I think so. And he won two national titles in back-to-back years. He won 24-2 for the team, and then Hager took over. But you can make arguments for those guys. But for me, it's Coach Bull. What he did with the team, taking them through the transition. He's two wins away now. He has an overall record of 89-32. He went through a period there where they were just not good. 3-8 season, I believe. Injuries didn't really help with that. But then he brings them back, has a great recruiting class that's played for him for the last 4 years now with the freshmen that are seniors. Now, to me, Craig Bull is on this Mount Rushmore of NDSU football because of what he's done with the team, taking them through a transition and taking them into the new era of Division I football, winning a couple national titles. And I think we'll continue to coach this team as they move along, because I think eventually this team will have no choice in my mind but to move on to a higher level of Division I, because I think the FCS landscape and what's above.
We're taking a big right turn if we're going to get into that. Topic.
We won't now, but I think the landscape of college football is going to change dramatically in the next few years.
Here's the thing: I can't put a coach on there who isn't. I mean, it's got to be, you've got to have the Bobby Bowden. I mean, you have to have that kind of resume for me to put you on the Mount Rushmore, the Coach Krzyzewski. That's the kind of resume you got to have. You got to have at minimum 20 years at a school before I'll put you on around Mount Rushmore of that school.
And so to me, it's not about that. It's about the success he's had and the sustained success he's had with a team from North Dakota. Let's remember that. We're talking about a football team from NDSU.
That has more national titles than any program in the country since 1960.
Yeah, but that's like Division II. You're not playing at a high level.
Okay.
To me, Fargo is almost like a black hole when it comes to any kind of attention from anybody. It's just there. It's a bigger city. If you're able to get a kid from Minnesota to come to a town that has no lakes, no hills, no activities, it's cold all the time, football,
now,
that's pretty dang good.
This is the stuff that I've got to deal with every day at work. And guess what? We still get...
Maybe we should put you on a Mount Rushmore of NDSU.
Whoa, no, not even close.
But see, to me, the ability to do that and the ability to do it and not be drawn away. Let's remember this, that he had a great amount of success when NDSU wasn't playing for anything and probably had an opportunity to go to a Big Ten school. Like Minnesota or Hawaii.
And
he might have had that opportunity, I don't know, but he just stuck around.
You had four, he's been there, 10 years? You've had four of those years where he wasn't playing for anything. So you've had really six meaningful years as a head coach.
He's made the most of them, but to
he
me,
has.
But
I,
to me, those
and your list has a recent slant because you're looking at guys who you've seen, you're familiar with, and I get that. But you got in order for me, if you're not the person out there playing, and in order to get that, you got to be there 20 years. You have to be able to do it for that long in order for me to put you on the list.
That's a great argument. I understand it, but to me, you know, how do you not put a guy on there who potentially? It almost feels like I'm giving them the national title, which they have a long way to go before that happens.
Yep.
But potentially could have a three-peat, could have over 100 wins in his career as the head coach at NDSU, which hasn't been done. He's going to beat Hager's all-time record, which is 91, pardon me. He has 89 right now. Coach Bull does career wins and has done it when there wasn't anything to play for. And being able to motivate a team and look at them and go, hey, the best we can do is 11-0. Let's do it. That's tough because, you know, as an athlete, you want to play for something. You want to play for the title. You want to play for this. The only thing he had was a Great West Conference title, which was five teams at the time, and a dumb Dakota marker. That's it. That's all he had.
We're put in positions of arguing against people that are really, really good. And I love how sports does that to people. But I'm not going to argue with you that Coach Craig Bull is not a great coach, because he obviously is. But again, that's kind of my personal. You got to be there a little bit more time if you're a coach. Otherwise, I'm going to put the guys who've been on the field taking the hits. I'm going to put them.
Yeah.
I'm going to put them on the mountain.
And I can see a Brock Jensen argument, because what if this year he absolutely dominates and ends up being. You know,
he's,
a great year. And,
he's going to get a lot of Steve Walker's records. I mean, he really is.
Yeah, but to me that's a little different, because Steve Walker was a much better passing quarterback than Jensen is.
Yeah,
but,
they were different.
But,
Walker was different from Bentram.
And Jensen's thing is going to be because he's played so many more games than Walker ever did, because he's had a longer seasons.
Okay, more longer
he's
seasons,
had longer
yeah,
seasons.
That way. Yeah.
And those records go into it. So we're... into overtime, so yeah. we'll move on. So again, you're four on the Mount Rushmore as we erect it, put it up.
Yes, Jeff Bentram, Chris Simdorn, Phil Hansen, Brock Jensen.
And I have Phil Hansen, I have Craig Bull, I have Lamar Gordon, and I have Steve Walker. So those are my four, and that's it. So we've pretty much bridged NDSU football in July, and we're going to move on into August. I'm excited for August because I know what I want to do is kind of talk about Bison football more, but kind of go into the preview of it. Look at the defense, look at the offense, look at the schedule, do a little predicting, and that will lead up to the August 30th kickoff game, which I'll be in Manhattan, Kansas, baby. I'll be there. It'll be fun. Are you going?
I can't.
Oh, he's not going.
If it was a Saturday, yes. A Friday, Friday in August, I can't get away.
I think it's on TV, though.
I'll be watching.
I think you'll be okay. That's another thing we can discuss, too, is Fox Sports One, this new television thing.
Mm-hmm.
How much does that kind of put NDSU in a spotlight that they're willing to put? I have to do the research, but I'm pretty sure that's their first game that they're going to do. Maybe first college football game that they're going to do, but it's Kansas State NDSU.
We'll talk a little bit more.
Because that's impressive that you're going to launch this huge thing and compete with ESPN, and your first game is going to feature an FCS team against Kansas State. And to me, that's kind of like, okay, so... does that play negatively or positively? I think would be the question I'd ask. And we'll get into that in the next
show. Right there.
There is a tease. So again, follow Brad on Twitter.
At the Bison Guy.
Me at Pinto at KFGO. Thank you so much for listening to our fourth podcast of the Pinto and White Shadow Show. Well into overtime. I hope you stuck with us through this entire hour. And we'll be back next week discussing local, regional, and national sports topics. For Brad Jones, I'm Daniel Pinto Gunnarsson. Have a great rest of your day.